The concept of the good portion goes back to Jewish times. If the rabbis, that they would talk about the good portion was what they chose to do with the time in their lives that they devoted to God. So a lot of times this would involve reading scripture or praying or talking about theological concepts in the temples with the other rabbis. And so as we look at this, Mary has chosen listening to Jesus as her good portion. And I know last week, Linus mentioned in her sermon that sometimes we need to think like first century Jews to understand the passages in the Bible. She's absolutely right. Things were very different in biblical times. But as they say, some things never change. So today, I'm not going to ask you to go back 2,000 years to look at what's going on in this passage. I'm going to ask you to go back 80 years. I was recently at a friend's house for a party, and we got to talking about family gatherings and the dynamics of them when we were growing up. And her mom, who was there and was in her 80s, well, she grew up way out in the country here in Louisiana. And she told us that when she was a kid growing up in the 40s and 50s, every Sunday, their whole extended family would go over to her grandparents' house for dinner. So they would all go to church together, and when they got back, they kind of all divide up. So the children would go outside and play until dinner, and the men would go into the living room and talk until dinner. And the women would all go into the kitchen and cook until dinner. And that's not even the crazy part. When dinner was ready, what they did was the men would all come into the dining room and all the men would eat first by themselves. And then when they were finished, they would go back into the living room and then the children would come in and the children would all eat. And then after the children were done, they would go back out and play some more. And then the women would eat. She said that sometimes the women would eat at the table, and sometimes they would kind of just all eat in the kitchen while they were cleaning up. This was the defined order to how they had decided that these family gatherings went, based on the cultural expectations of who they were and where they were. It's only 80 years ago. I think that there probably would have been a similar reaction if Mary decided to walk out of the kitchen and go hang out with the men in the living room. In this passage, we see Mary radically defying expectations that her culture has placed upon her. And what better way to illustrate this point to the Jewish people than by using the subject of hospitality? Hospitality was a core value of their culture, emphasizing the welcoming and the care of guests, especially strangers. And we see examples of this all throughout the Bible. I think the most pronounced is the story of Lot. Lot, who is living in Sodom and Gomorrah right before the destruction, and his family is saved because of the hospitality that he extends to total strangers. Strangers who just happen to be angels who are in town to destroy the city. Yeah, kind of got lucky on that one. And Jesus still tells Martha that if the hospitality that they show him is less, so that Mary can sit at his feet and listen to what he is saying, that's okay. This statement is shocking. But if we look at this situation from Mary's point of view, what is she doing? All she's really doing is she's trying something new. She feels this call from God that she is meant to do something different. And that's where the Greek in this passage really helps us out, because it is pretty interesting. Because when Luke says that Martha was overwhelmed by her many tasks, the word that he uses for tasks is diakoneion, which is the root of the word deacon. Luke's word choice, although much more subtle after we translate it to English, contrasts Martha doing the tasks of a church deacon with Mary exploring the work of, I don't know, a church elder, maybe even a minister. Jesus asks Martha and Mary and each one of us, what is your call? Martha, are you complaining because you feel that your call isn't to the office of deacon? Or because you feel that Mary should be doing that work too? Mary, are you exploring another part of ministry because you feel called to do so? Or are you just intrigued by something shiny and new? And to all of us, are you continuing in the same ministries at the church year after year because that is where God calls you? Or are you doing it because you feel that it's expected of you? And the hard truth is, when we feel God calling us, too often we don't try to do something new. We try to do something more. We take this new call and we add it on to everything that we've already been doing because we feel bad stepping down from other things. We feel that we're letting people down. And that doesn't lead to a new and amazing call of ministry in our lives. What it leads to is burnout. The lesson that Jesus is teaching Martha is that sometimes God is calling us to step down from one ministry to explore another. Let me tell you, if there's one time that that might happen more than any other time, it's during times of church transitions. Because the air is full of people who are working on how to proceed, how to move forward to a new stage with more stability. And all of these ideas, most of these ideas are really good ones. And I think that God has been and is and will be calling a lot of you all to try something new in this time in the church. But I think that will be really hard if all you can do is add on more. And sometimes we need to kind of build it up from scratch, figure out what we are called to do and what it means to be a church community. I want to share with you a story about the church that I interned at my last year of seminary. I was required to do an internship throughout my entire final year. And the Presbytery Ordination Committee really wanted me to do an internship at a small church. So I interned at a small church just north of Richmond. And I want to clarify what small means, because when I first heard that they wanted to be at a small church, I really did not understand what that meant. The small church is generally categorized by having under 100 members, and the average church attendance at the church that I was at was 25, mostly older members. We had two children come up for children's time, and they were the two daughters of the music director on staff. And while I was there, the church was also going through a strategic planning process. And here was their number one goal. We want to attract more young adults and more families with children and youth. And I think there's a good chance you've heard that before, not just because it was part of your strategic plan, but because I'm pretty sure that it is part of every single strategic plan of every church in the country. Who doesn't want more families? Who doesn't want more young adults? But I think here is where it got a little interesting, because the church was small enough that they were able to have the entire congregation invite all of them in to speak with the consulting firm that they hired. And after this meeting, the consulting firm sent their head pastor a memo. I'm just going to read part of it. This is a quote from the congregation. "We really want to grow the church, but we don't have the time or energy to do it. We have too many other commitments in our lives. We know that isn't what you want to hear, and it's not a solution, but that's the reality of our lives right now. I know that most of us are retired, so you probably assume that we have a lot of extra time. You would be wrong. We don't feel any less busy." Question from the consulting firm. "What do you feel you have the time and energy to do?" Answer from the congregation. "We can show up to church on Sunday." End memo. But that Monday morning at staff meeting, we just kind of stared at the memo, kind of unsure how to respond, unsure what to do. How would anything possibly change if the congregation wasn't willing to do anything differently? But here's the thing. Once the congregation clearly delineated what they were able and unable to handle, they focused on what they could do. And over the course of 1 week, the church attendance went from 25 to 50. Like overnight, everyone said, "We can come to church on Sunday." And they did. The church went from feeling empty throughout the week to feeling full, even if it was only on Sunday mornings. And that was exciting. And that excitement spread, and the few visitors that they had started coming back instead of leaving after one Sunday. And the church started growing because the church and the congregation realized that the foundation of church is worship. Worship is where it starts. Worship is where it ends. And as much as they felt horrible for giving up something that they had been doing for the church, whether it was Bible studies during the week, whether it was helping to clean the kitchen, they had a new goal. Every Sunday we are in town, we'll be here. It was their priority for Sunday mornings above sleeping in and above sports and above even brunch, we will be at church. They realized that God needed them to do something new, not to do something more. What would it look like if you asked yourself what you feel God needs from you versus what you feel the church needs from you? Who are you expected to be, and who does God need you to be? What would it look like if you found the courage to try something new? What would it look like if everyone at the congregation here made a commitment just to be in church every Sunday? I think that it would look full. I think that we would have people excited about the new ministry that God had placed on their lives, and we would start to realize that just because we have all of these expectations in our heads, this is what we need Martha to do for the church. This is what we need Mary to do for the church. And we're scared that the church will fall apart if they aren't doing these things. Maybe they won't be called to do that same thing every year for the rest of their lives. Maybe our Marthas and our Marys and our Peters and our Pauls will need room to step down from things that they've been doing. Not because they're giving up on the church, but because they want to try something new, not something more. Amen.